This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome home, Milers, and welcome back to another episode of Mickey Miles and More, a podcast where three friends, Mike, Michelle, and Chris, talk about their passion for the Disney parks. I am Chris Eliopoulos, and with me, as always, is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean.
Hello, Christopher. Around these parts, we call it Disney Pox.
Pox. It's Wicked Disney, Smart.
Wicked Smart Pox.
Wicked Smart Pox.
We can hardly contain our excitement.
That's what they should call it, the Disney Smart app. Like, instead of...
You know what? I'm very critical of people's pretend Boston accents, but I have to say that you are spot on. I cannot stand hearing Cliff on Cheers because it's so bad, but
I take really that such good. A compliment.
It
I
is. It's that. Wicked awesome. For a I'm Jersey. Impressed. And talk about accents.
Yeah, speaking of Boston accents. Hi, Mike. Mike Scopa, how are you?
You know, I think everybody else has the accent. I don't have an accent. I mean, if I want to park the car in Harvard Yard, I'm going to park the car in Harvard Yard, you know? And I think that's a smart thing to do. So anyways.
Wicked smart.
Wicked smart.
So interesting how accents have developed, but
that's
amazing.
A whole other podcast.
I know we could do a whole episode on different accents throughout accents. The Disney parks. So this has been a very busy week in the Disney community. Things have escalated quickly, and I got to say so quickly that I think Mike's fingers were on fire because he was texting me all week like there was nothing else going on in the world except that the Disney parks were expanding. So, Mike, the big thing this week was you called it. You said it right up front to me that one of the two parks, Universal or Disney, was going to pull the trigger and lower the mask mandate, and the other park would follow suit almost immediately. And Universal did. Exactly that, and then Disney followed suit, and now you can walk around the Disney parks outside without a mask if you are vaccinated, but they do not require any kind of proof, right?
And that's the big thing, that's the big controversy, and that's the discussion that we keep seeing everywhere across the country, the mask guideline that the CDC came out with was the morning after we recorded last week, and so now there's all kinds of questions regarding, you know, it's the honor system now. We don't know if we've got 10 people walking towards us without masks, you know, how many of them are really vaccinated? And by really vaccinated, you know, both shots, and was it 2 weeks after the final shot or one shot? It's the Johnson & Johnson. And it's 2 weeks afterwards. So I think that's the thing, Chris. We really don't know, you know, because it's the honor system. And because of that, I was mentioning to Michelle that I saw a newscast where they had the map of the United States, and they had states in different colors. And the person who was at the board said, well, see, this state's not going to take off the mask guideline until June. This one's not going to take. So there's still inconsistency. And I don't know if it was premature for the CDC to say that, what they said, when you had only 36 or 37% of the population vaccinated, after they had kept saying months ago, we want herd immunity to be reached, you know, sometime around 70-75%.
But it's important to remember that those Universal and Disney are still private property, and they can make their own decisions. Right?
Speaking of which, they did come out with a statement, Mike. I don't know if Michelle wants to read it. She's got the great reading voice, or if you want to read it, which is what
she doesn't have the accent, so.
There you go.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah.
All right. Face coverings are required for all guests ages 2 and up. And cast members, please bring your own face coverings and wear them at all indoor locations except when actively eating or drinking while stationary and maintaining appropriate physical distancing. Face coverings are optional in indoor common areas at Walt Disney World. oh, thank you, outdoor common areas at Walt Disney World Resort, but are still required upon entering and throughout all attractions, theaters, and transportations. I wonder what actively eating is.
You have to do squats while you're chewing on a turkey.
You're
turkey
chewing.
Leg.
You're not chewing. Put that face mask on. You're just chatting.
Yeah. That's sort of the, I think, Mike, that's what I got most from this, is a confusion. And I think for most people, a lack of understanding of what the actual rules are and what the, like, what you're supposed to do and not do in these situations. Like,
yeah,
you're walking in and you want to go into the confectionery. Like, you have to put the mask on as you walk through it, and then you walk out the other side and you have to put it back on, like, or take it off again. It seems very awkward.
It does go on to talk about which conditions, right, Mike?
Yeah, it says, upon entering and throughout all attractions, let me speak to that. One of my friends was in the Magic Kingdom on Saturday, I think it was, and she said that the line was to the Haunted Mansion was all back to the entrance. The Liberty Bell riverboat, and she said as people were getting in line, they were being told to put masks on in that queue. And then I heard from someone else that people were not asked to put masks on while they went onto a queue unless they reached the very first cast member who was monitoring that queue. I also heard from a friend, a shout out to Mitch Brennan, who yesterday was in Epcot, and he told me that when he was in Soarin', there were cast members who were getting somewhat irritated because guests kept taking their masks off. And Mitch said at one point he heard
in line.
And I don't know. And obviously in Soarin', you're indoors anyway, so you should have the mask. And one cast member said, if I have to ask you one more time to please put on a mask, I'll have to ask you to leave the attraction. So I feel real bad for the, should I say badly? Badly for the cast members, who they're probably just as confused, you know, as we are. Then I've heard if you go into the butterfly house, you know, you don't have to put your mask on. If, you know, there's so
doesn't
many.
It sounds like the cast members are confused. Sounds like the guests are confused. Cast members are clear and they're following
the
rules.
Maybe they're clear.
Upon entering attractions,
but,
wear a mask.
I think that it should be consistent for every attraction, regardless of whether you're in or out in a queue line. You know, if you're in the queue line for Space Mountain, and we know how long that can be, that Space Mountain queue line can be all the way to the TTA. Do you put your mask on then, or do you wait till you get inside the actual Space Mountain building and then you put your mask on? It's really confusing, Chris. And the other thing that's confusing is the social distancing thing. And here's the thing, and maybe it's just me, but prior to COVID, prior to the pandemic, I pretty much kept my distance from people, 3 feet. So now they're saying we're reducing it from 6 to 3. Well, if people are going to be removing their masks, I would think, gee, you know, maybe we should keep it at 6 and not reduce it at 3, because now the masks are coming off, and that means masks from people who are possibly not vaccinated, but say they're vaccinated, not to mention children. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing. We talked about that. Putting parents in a real strange position, because Billy, you know, sis, you're all going to have to wear masks, but Dad and Mom, we're not going to have to wear masks. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's all, I know it's sort of, we're progressing our way towards not having the masks anymore, but it does seem to be in fits and starts, and then we're not sort of really abiding by any particular hard, fast rules yet.
Just in my own local Trader Joe's is one of the national companies that you don't have to wear masks, but my city requires that you do. Mm-hmm. So it's it's confusing.
Costco?
Everywhere you go. Yeah, Costco doesn't, but our city
Costco
in New
says
Hampshire.
Wear a mask.
Yeah. I thought Costco said not. Well, anyway,
remember the woman who went in and she was going to put a, and he said, oh, no, you have to put your mask on. Sure, I heard that Costco said
it's confusing
said no.
for people. Yeah. And so it needs to be consistent, at least in Walt Disney World, that the message should be the same.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I think I said it to you guys in a text that while the CDC gave all these rules, New Jersey's kind of holding back a little bit yet. I mean, we can still go outdoors and not wear masks and certain, you know, there's certain things they follow, but we're still not going for the, you know, oh, you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask at all. But I'm hopefully excited that kids 12 and up can get their vaccinations and we'll really start progressing towards a little bit of normalcy. But so other than that, I guess we're going to keep seeing things are changing in terms of mask requirements. But there are also other changes, Mike. You excitedly told me something about the calendar blowing up, and I looked and it was still in one piece the last time I checked, but you told me it blew up.
Well, you know, every week we've been talking about the POC availability calendar and how it every week they would extend it another week, every 7 days. However, this time around, they did not blow it up 7 days or 7 months. They blew it up to January 14th, 2023. So you can actually see park availability or actually make a park reservation up to January 14th, 2023. However,
if you have a ticket,
you have to have a ticket, and I think you have to have, or you have to have a reservation, whatever. But for those of you thinking about going to the Magic Kingdom on October 1st, don't even think of it.
Why would we want to go on October 1st?
Well, because it's the 50th anniversary.
It is? No one told me. There weren't any signs anywhere.
But yeah, you go on.
Nobody texted me.
You go on My Disney Experience, and you're just going to see. You're going to see a lot of green. You're also going to see a lot of yellow or whatever. So, you know, and then that brings us to.
What does yellow mean?
Yellow means that there are some parks that are available. Green means that all the parks are available. I think gray means there are no parks available. And so the
try
combination.
The gray stuff. It's delicious.
Yeah. So the combination of the mask guideline changing and the. Reported increase in capacity has made the park availability calendar a little bit more green.
But what about the hours? I mean, because Audra needs the hours to be late so she can walk around the park at night during her vacation.
I think the hours are, that's a different story.
It's a different story. I want the same story.
I think you have to keep your eye on that.
I think you mentioned that, I mean, what was it? Epcot is open till 10? I think it's normally, but
I don't think any of the hours have changed. I think that
just the what you can book has changed.
Yeah, I don't think there's much change in the hours right now. So.
Well, speaking of it seems like from what we've heard that the capacity has gone up, and they haven't really mentioned how much their capacity is going, which begs the question, Mike and Michelle. Michelle, is there going to be a return to the Fast Pass?
Oh my goodness. I don't think for a while there's going to be a return to the Fast Pass. But, you know, with the summer crowds increasing, what I've heard from friends is that the lines are very, very long. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I would think they'd have to be if the numbers are going up.
Yeah. And there's nobody in the Fast Pass line. So,
yeah.
I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
I think the Fast Pass will return because one of the reasons why the Fast Pass.
This summer?
No. I don't think. I think that the Fast Pass will not return until we're hitting 75% capacity or above, and I think that the folks down there at Walt Disney World and Disneyland, I think that they probably don't want disgruntled guests who are paying top dollar to get into the parks, and at the same time, they don't want you standing in line for an hour and a half when you could be buying a Dole Whip, buying a sweatshirt, you know, spending money. So I think that that's very much a motivating factor for them to bring back FastPass. But I think that there's going to be some type of a breaking point, and they may have some kind of a metric that they're using in each of the parks, saying with the average wait time, when it goes beyond this particular amount of time, that's when we bring back the FastPass. So again, I think once the capacity is improved to 75%, I think that any day, you know, we'll hear about the Fast Pass. I do think that it would probably be something like a 30-day notice, though. I don't think they're going to say, hey, tomorrow we got Fast Pass. So we'll see.
Well, with the capacity going up, I'm sure the parking lots are getting a little busier.
Well, what they used to do, Chris, is they had you parking every other spot. So you, when you pulled into the parking lot, you know, you didn't have to worry about getting dinged by the person next to you with a kid opening up. Hey, God, it's a Magic Kingdom, boom, and you get dinged. So now, as of last weekend, I believe.
Is that what a kid sounds like? He sounds like an old man.
Yeah. In Mike's world, they do.
Bang.
All right. Anyways. It's a Magic Kingdom. Oh, my car. Yeah.
Sorry, mister, with the Boston accent. So, the parking lot protocol, where you
parking
know,
lot protocol,
yeah, the PLP is back. So you know they're doing that. No, so again, that's another indication that capacity is going up, because why would they even bother doing that unless they needed to make sure they had enough parking spaces for all the guests who are going? So that's another flag that says.
See, that parking situation is one of the positives of the COVID issues and quarantining and separating is that your cars would be safe from that little kid dinging it.
Yeah. And hasn't the celebration of the festival of the idea of the notion of the Lion King?
Perhaps a Lion King?
Increase capacity?
So, so the seating in that show has changed since last Thursday, too. Now, there's increased capacity, so you're closer to the performers. You're closer to the performers, and there is more people around you. Although I'm not sure if they're that close, but that has changed too. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that are. It's like a domino effect from last Thursday's CDC, and you know, the Monkey See, Monkey Do, Universal Studios, Disney World, Do-Si-Do dance that they do.
Okay.
Monkey See, Monkey Do, Do-Si-Do. Dance.
Yep.
Well, at the Lion King, there's a lot. There are no monkeys anymore. So,
lucky, lucky don't.
No, and I really feel bad because Michelle really enjoyed them. She would go bananas. They would come out.
You're climbing a tree here. Speaking of things that are back, we also have the three caballeros. The animatronics are back after those cardboard cutouts were just sitting there in Grand Fiesta Tour, huh, Mike? It's like
they're back. They're back. This week, a couple of days or whatever. So
my buddy Dr. Melissa Iannetta is down there and posted a video, and they look snazzy. I have to say, they look really, really in good shape. So
that's good.
I'm really, really happy. That's my favorite part of that attraction.
So on a slightly different note, you know, I just recently got a new Apple Watch, and I'm really loving it. And Michelle just had. Friended me on my activity. She has to know when I'm working out. God help her. But the other thing that was interesting is I was telling my wife and kids, you know, they've got Apple Watches, and I said, you know, get them up and running, make sure they're in tip-top shape because we're going to need them at Disney. And my wife
was
like,
"Why you got it, by the way?"
I know. And my wife was like, "Well, can't we just use the Magic Bands?" I'm like, "Yes, we can still use our Magic Bands, but we can use our watches." But also, Disney is no longer going to provide for free any of the Magic Bands. I guess as they're working their way towards the new app, Mike, they're no longer providing. You can still buy them, but what do you guys think? Are you going to use your Apple Watch, or are you going to go with the Magic Band? Or both?
We're going to use the Apple Watch and maybe bring the Magic Band as a backup. Maybe, I don't know.
You know, I threw away so many Magic Bands because I thought there were always more coming. Now I wish I had saved some of them, but. I am very much a like minimal, give me one thing, one tool to do all the things. So I'd much rather have my Apple Watch. However, I would love it if Disney, and I've said this for years, I would love it if Disney would create Apple Watch bands, like Magic Bands, that are Disney themed, like Haunted Mansion and, you know, whatever. Epcot or Mickey themed that I could use with my Apple Watch. I would spend a ton of money, Disney. Please do it.
There's been some mixed reports on how well the watch is working. I've heard people say they have not had to unlock the watch when they go up to the turnstile, and I've heard others say that they had to unlock the watch. So I think there may be some kinks still being worked out.
There were kinks in the Magic Bands too. I mean, when we first got them, sometimes they wouldn't open.
Michelle used to have all kinds of
Our hotel room, we wouldn't be able to get in, and I had to go all the way back down and get it fixed. But
what do you mean you have to unlock it? Of course you'd have to unlock it. What do you mean?
So they would walk around. They didn't have to go to the wallet and open the wallet to do it.
It would just scan it. As soon as you hold it up, it would automatically pull it from your
wallet. Chris, you just brought up a point. I was wondering about that. Does that mean we can use this for getting into our rooms? I would guess.
Probably, yeah.
I would think it would be for everything, just like the Magic Bands. But, you know, the one thing I was thinking about, which is not a place I particularly want to go to, but my kids do like going, is the one thing that was great about having a Magic Band was going to the water parks. I can't take my Apple. Well, I mean, I guess you could. They're water resistant.
Yes, you can, Chris.
I would worry that I would bang it around or something like that.
Listen, I have worn mine in the ocean, at Vero Beach, and many, many other places.
Oh, it's fine. I know the water, but I'm also talking about just the banging.
Oh, banging.
And hitting the sides of things, and you're jumping onto the water slide and that kind of stuff.
I don't know how you water slide, but I don't usually jump onto the water slide, but you're fine.
All right. So, one of the other things, Mike, is the Grand Floridian number 9 building is undergoing a conversion to a DVC studios. Is that true?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly what that building is, but I think it's the building that if you're walking from the Polynesian and you're slowly getting to the main building of the Grand Floridian, it's way out to the right. And I believe they're going to make that entire building DVC studio rooms. So there's about 200 that they're planning to build.
So there'll be two of those buildings are DVC now?
Because the one closest to
the wedding pavilion is already DVC, right?
I think you're right. So yeah, there seems to be a need to make more money. So they're going to, add more DVC rooms. But they're all studios. So that tells me that, you know, they're going to be pretty expensive. So,
Hopefully, as they're doing all this stuff, like we said, we're going to get rid of Coon Alley. And speaking of the running stuff, it's interesting. This week, the New York City Marathon announced that they would be running the marathon this week in a smaller capacity. About 33,000 people will be a part of it, but you can still do the virtual race, which begs the question, is Run Disney thinking of coming back? I would think if they were going to do Wine and Dine, it's around the same time as the New York City Marathon. Would they start announcing that now? Do they have the capacity? And then more importantly, the one I really want to go to is the, I've already booked a trip, or at least the hotel, for the marathon weekend, which would be the marathon weekend. Mike, any news on that front?
I've been trying to find out as much as I can about what's going on down there, and I'm hearing from several people, some of them inside, some of them outside, and some of them are saying don't expect anything this year. There's other also talk about, you know, just getting back to normalcy, and dealing with the 50th anniversary means that they don't want the headache of Run Disney. Personally, Chris, I think that Wine and Dine is out. I think we would have heard by now there's nothing on the site. It's as if it's like no one has touched that site in months.
It's like GeoCities.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I personally think that they would not like to do anything until they know they could flip that switch and go 100% full boat, no guidelines, no conditions, everything is back to normal. Until that time, I don't think we're going to hear it. And regarding January, I think we need to know by September.
I was going to say August, because I thought my training had started in August. Because that's the thing. They have to, if somebody's going to be running the Dopey, they really need to do a lot of training.
Yeah.
It's not fair to spring it on them in, October, November. When people aren't prepared, you're not going to have a good turnout when people are going to be struggling.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And there's also another factor I want to give a shout out to our friend Jeff Galloway. Jeff is recovering from a minor heart attack, mm-hmm. and he has gone public with this, so this is not, you know, breaking
inside information.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm sure Jeff is taking care of himself, and he wants to be up and ready so that he could, you know, be there when Run Disney wants him. But I really don't see anything regarding January being a go. Let's see what happens around September if they make an announcement. And one of the things is that you need a lot of lead time to do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. They need a lead time to get the volunteers in place, to figure out the medals,
registration,
mm-hmm. you name it.
Logistics people, is a big thing.
Yeah, and there's a connection between this and what we're going to talk about next. I'm going to let Michelle talk about the same issues that with Run Disney that are with the cruise line.
Yeah, okay. I do want to say before we segue to that we have a dear friend who's been called back to Disney Fairy Tale Weddings. So weddings are starting up again. So you know, there is some hope that things are going to be returned to normal. So for the cruise, there's still nothing really. The cruise that we have scheduled is for August, and there are really no updates. But we had a really interesting conversation this week about the implications for that. So say you have a cruise planned for August, and you have your flight down there planned, and you have taken time off from work, and you have taken kids you haven't planned any time for kids to go to camps, and you've arranged transportation. Maybe a happy limo is taking you out to the mm-hmm. port. So, like, what is the obligation of Disney in terms of letting people know? Because people need to make their plans. You know, if they're not going on that vacation in August, when will they let people know so that they can make other plans? So, you know, I know that there are certain guidelines in terms of paying off the cruise and being able to make plans, excursions and things like that. But what's the obligation of the Disney Cruise Line and letting people know so they can make other plans? So
I don't know. Look, you guys would know better. I don't pay attention to any of that stuff because it doesn't really affect me. But yeah,
just think if you, I mean, you're going down in August. If they were going to make a decision about opening or closing mm-hmm. the hotel that you're staying at, when would be a fair time to let you know?
Yeah, well, that's even now is just sort of like, that's why I had said leading into this vacation is like, I wish I had more information to make an informed decision about my vacation.
Yes, right.
And I think that's definitely what you would want for Run Disney. That's what you want for your cruise. I think part of the problem too is they don't know, you know, just like they didn't know until the CDC pulled the trigger and said, you know what, people who are vaccinated, fully vaccinated are safe. You don't have to worry about wearing masks, that they quickly jumped into it, you know, it took everybody by surprise. You know, even the administration was like, wait, what? You know, like they didn't expect it. So Disney, I think, is also playing by the problems that we're all having, right? So the government, the CDC, and the administration says, here's what the guidelines are. And then each state says, here's our guidelines. And then each county, each town says, here's our guidelines.
Yeah.
And then each private company says, here's our guidelines. And it's tough to navigate. So I think they're also having trouble, and I appreciate the trouble. The problem is they should be, what's the word? They should be a little bit more transparent about what their thinking is, even if they don't know it. Say, hey, we don't know anything. But on a side note, like you said, best wishes for a full and speedy recovery to Jeff Galloway. I was actually, it's funny, I was thinking about him. And the next day I saw the announcement that he had a heart attack. My last Disney marathon at mile 20 or so, just as I was coming out of the Disney Sports Complex, he and his wife were there, and he ran with us for a little while, and I chatted with him about you and Michelle, and it was a sweet run. And so I hope to see him at another race and getting out there and running with us. But One last thing is something we've tried in the past, which is a speed round, which when you guys are offline, please join us on our Facebook page and tell us your answers. But Mike, give us the speed round of questions that you have for us. What are we going to hear?
We can call it speed round. We call it lightning round. Basically, I put together three questions for all of us to answer. Of course, I've seen these before the show, but you and Michelle have not seen these. So I'm going to ask you guys to give me an answer and tell me what you would give me for an answer to these questions. I'm going to start off with Michelle first, okay?
Does Michelle know or she doesn't know?
She doesn't know this question.
This was Michelle's idea.
This was Michelle. Oh, that's why. Now I know why I've been getting the look. Okay. Yes, this has been Michelle's idea for a couple of weeks, and we've just never had enough time, but we're going to make time, and I want to thank Michelle for this idea.
You are welcome, Michael.
But these are my
ripping
questions.
With sarcasm.
So you ready?
Ready.
All right. So Michelle, I want you to answer first, and then Chris. Mm-hmm. I want you to consider every single Disney movie that's been made, live action, animated, Pixar, whatever, okay? Mm-hmm. I want you to tell me if you could be in any of those movies, be it the voice, be it a real actor, actress, whatever, which character and which movie would you love to be in? Who would you want to be in? What movie for all time?
Oh, my goodness.
Is there a favorite character and you thought, oh, I'd love to play that character?
I would like to be Scarlett Johansson in the Avengers movies. Cause she can kick some bottom.
You're on a Scarlett Johansson.
I love Scarlett Johansson. Yes.
Yeah, you know what? It's just out of professional courtesy, I'll put the Marvels aside because that is kind of weak sauce. But I will still go superhero. I would go for Dash in The Incredibles.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I always dreamed of running fast.
Yeah. I would have seen you as Jack-Jack, but okay.
Hmm. What about you, Mike?
You know, this was kind of fun because I thought, gee, you know, it would be fun. And I think of all the times I've seen this character on stage in the movies. And I think I'd love
Belle,
to be
don't you?
Gaston. I would love to be Gaston. That's going to be the most fun to play. You know, you can be arrogant. You can be, you know, just crazy. And so I thought that would be the thing that I would want to be. Okay, I'll go with Chris first on this next one.
Okay.
You are now being hired as an Imagineer in Walt Disney World.
Okay.
But your classification is Imagineer at either Disney World or California, or Disneyland / California Adventure. So what they're saying is, Chris, you know, we're hiring you as an Imagineer. You can now tell us which attraction you want to be assigned to, and that attraction is your responsibility, and you will be assigned to that attraction to keep it running as an Imagineer. Which attraction?
Could I, like, meaning update it totally or refurb it just the way I want it, or just
do whatever you want? You're an Imagineer. If you want to change it, if you want to just be a refurbisher, which attraction would you like?
It's funny. It's out of everybody's probably wheelhouse, but I would love to get a crack at Journey into Imagination at Epcot. I would love to read.
They need you.
It's a brilliant concept idea of imagination, and it is the most unimaginative attraction at Disney World. I would love to take a crack at that one and really go nuts and change things around and, you know, show what it could be. Make it a destination. Now it's just sort of like, well, we can't get in any other ride, so let's go over there.
No wait.
Mm-hmm. Ever. Who's next? Is it Mike or Michelle?
Michelle.
Oh, I would love to do Spaceship Earth. I would really like to think about things that you could do with Spaceship Earth and communication and technology.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely up your wheelhouse, I think.
Yeah, that was
isn't that funny? We just both picked, like, my job is imagination and doing stories. Yours is science-based, and so you went for Spaceship Earth. Very interesting. Where's Mike going to go?
Well, it's funny because I thought about Spaceship Earth, especially on the ride down. I think that's waste right now.
Yeah.
There is going to be a refurbishment change in Spaceship Earth somewhere. in the near future, but we'll wait on that. You know, I thought about this for a while, and it all comes back to something that I enjoy, and I think that there could be an enhancement to it, and I think it's the American Adventure. I love the way that the story is told. I love the way they use multimedia. They use song, and they use audio animatronics, and they use film and everything. I really think that I would love to be there just to see how things work and keep everything, you know, in tip-top shape. So that would be my choice.
Can I add another one?
Sure.
That scene of Carousel Farms.
Oh.
Maybe we could all work on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tough one of that is, though, you want to create something new but also keep the classic parts of it.
Mm-hmm. So just the last scene.
Well, at some point, like, you have to progress forward because, like, it's going to be like the first 30 years of the 1900s, and then you're going to skip right to 2030.
It's true, yeah. What's the last question, Michael?
The last question is, you know, we all know Lee Cockrell. He was the director of operations at Walt Disney World. And so I am going to say, you are now being told that you are the new operations director of operations at Walt Disney World, not Disneyland, but Walt Disney World. However, we're giving you a little bit more power. We're giving you the ability to put together three new policies for the resort. And these policies can be things that would impact guests and or cast members. What three policies would you like to see initiated at Walt Disney World that you think would make the experience better for the resort, for the cast members, and for the guests?
God, three. First one would be pay cast members more.
Okay.
That would be a no-brainer. I would love to bring back extra magic hours and in the morning and at night. And I would say more benefits for AP holders.
Wow. Those are good.
Thank you.
Those are good. Chris, I can go next to give you some time to think.
Yeah, that's fine. Go.
Okay. In regards to annual pass holders, Michelle, or people who are frequent visitors, I think there should be some kind of a customer reward program. So maybe every 25 or 50 times you go through it, maybe it should be 100. Maybe every 100 times you go through a turnstile at a Walt Disney World theme park, you should be rewarded either a free night, or you should be entered into a contest to win a free 5-day vacation at a deluxe resort. I think that it should be sort of a rewards program. They don't have a rewards program. We've been saying that for years. Number two, I think that the cast members, you know, like you said, Michelle, should be paid, but that's not my policy. I think that every time, for every 10 times a guest mentions a cast member at guest services, this person helped me and that person helped me, I think that every time a cast member gets 10 compliments, that cast member should get a vacation day. I think that
paid
vacation day. But I think in order for that to work, the guests need to know how they can impact a cast member's life. So again, I think that that's something that would benefit the cast member. I'm trying to think what the other thing was.
Yeah, he got to write them down. The rest of us have to wing it as we go, huh? I mean, that's the...
I forgot what
I
had.
I winged it. It's good. I know. Person. Maybe he'll come back, too. Maybe he'll phone a friend.
I think the other one was a combination of the two. I think that the annual pass holders should be getting some type of a benefit for every 100 nights they stay, they should get a free night somewhere. And I think that there should also be some kind of a lottery, so that if you go into a, if you stay at a Disney resort for more than 10 nights a year, you get thrown into a lottery for a free vacation, sort of like a Year of a Million Dreams thing. Again, the whole idea here is that for the resort, you want to encourage guests to come. You also want to encourage the cast members to be as friendly and to make the guest experience as happy as possible. And at the same time, you want to keep your employees happy. So that's how I think an operations director should approach this. Chris?
So I'm going to make sure, I put in my head that whatever you guys said, I was not going to repeat. So, but I think the cast member program should be improved. I think, like you're saying, there's like, it's almost like a sales incentive, right? You get a certain amount of, you know, likes, or you get a certain sales factor, boom, you get a bonus, right? That's what you're saying for cast members. I like that a lot. Mine would be, tend to be on the other side of the street. The first one I would do is I would basically, these all kind of go back to the origins of Disney World and Walt himself. I would bring back a lot of the randomness of having more cast members who are out and about performing, doing different pop-up things, having, you know, the guest experience be a little bit more interesting and exciting. Like, I think that's what made Disney special, was the fact that things like you didn't expect to happen would happen, that plussing of things. I think we're losing it in an age when everything has to be so pre-planned. Having things just happen would be an amazing guest experience. That's number one.
I miss that.
Number two, I think they really dropped the ball that they did not continue the Year of a Million Dreams. I think that was another, again, in the same kind of line of thinking, experience that made everybody's lives better. Like, their trips were so much better. I got a freaking box of Cracker Jacks at Casey's, and I still think about it to this day. I just thought it was wonderful that somebody just was like, hey, here, have this. Or, you know, we got to go do a special night at Hollywood Studios where they had a performance, and then it was a limited amount of people. We could go on rides, and it happened so spur of the moment. And we were going on to Star Tours. The stormtroopers showed up, and next thing you know, they started handing out these badges, you know, the wristbands to say you could go out that night to this event. I think that kind of stuff, so, you know, very much like in terms of the other thing, plussing it up a little bit and giving guests a little bit more for their money. We're spending so much money per day on these trips. I think a little spontaneity and little things here and there would help. The third thing is something that brings me all the way back to the origins of what was supposed to be the Florida Project, which was a self-contained city where transportation was kind of treated much bigger. You know, they had the people mover, they had the monorail, the cars were sort of, and trucks were kind of separated. I would love to see them expand the monorail and even do like a people mover kind of thing between parks, you know, that is a constant motion, that we're not at, you know, 9 o'clock at the Magic Kingdom, the fireworks let out, and there's 8 billion people sitting there at the monorail. Can you imagine like a people mover that was just constantly moving and getting people out, even if it was just along those to the TTA or something like that, you know? I think they need to work. You know, the bus system is so slow and sporadic and random at times. You can't tell when you're going to get a bus or the boat. You know, you're running, you want to go to Hollywood Studios, you're going to be late, but you just missed that boat, and you know the next boat's not coming for 20 minutes, and you're going to miss your first fast pass. You know, I'd love to see an improvement in transportation throughout the parks.
Great, great answers. I want to also mention that I really miss the spontaneity, the entertainment that used to pop up in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. You could be walking around any of the theme parks and all of a sudden, boom, there's something going on. There's music, there's singing, there's dancing, there's acting, there's comedy, there's magic. Not anymore.
I just remember just stupid things that for some reason still stick in my head is like, I was at Epcot over by Great Britain, and performers came out to do, I don't know, like a Shakespeare play or something like that with the audience. And they would dress the audience up in a thing, and people would just gather around, and it was so spontaneous and fun. And it was like, oh God, what's going on over there? And every other thing falls apart and you go over to look and you laugh and you have fun. I miss that, you know, that joy that you would get at a random junction.
Street atmosphere.
I remember being in the Fantasyland in 1990, I think it was. And the All-American College Band came up and they were, they had what do they call that guy with the baton?
The band leader? Or
something like that. And then there was, a woman who was sort of like a cheerleader or whatever. And then they had all the band members and they would form a circle. And what was interesting is that the guests were in between the musicians, and they formed a big circle, and the woman in the baton lead or whatever, they were dancing, and they said, okay, we're going to try to guess these songs. And they would play television theme songs and we would all try to guess them, and they'd be dancing, and it was so much fun. It was like, where did this come from? This was unexpected. And when it's unexpected and it's a real joy, you really get to remember that. Then walking through, Canada, and there were these musicians and they showed up and they were playing songs and everything. And I remember talking with one of them and I said, boy, you look so happy. He said, why shouldn't I be? He said, the guests are all happy. They're on vacation. I get to play my music and I'm getting paid for this stuff, you know? So, but you don't see that. The Jammeters, I guess they're still around. I don't know. But
Sweat and Cheers.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff was, and Blood, Sweat and, well, I guess that was scheduled. But the entertainment, you're right, Chris, has really taken a hit over the past 10, 15, 20 years. Yeah. And for the amount of money we pay, that shouldn't be.
Well, all right. So I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode. If you want to continue the conversation, join us on our Facebook page at Mickey Miles Podcast or on Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod and answer those three questions. What was the first one, Mike?
If you were, if you were given a chance to be a character in any Disney movie, be it live action, or animated, or Pixar, who would that be, and what movie?
And the second one is, attraction would you refurb or take control of, if you were an Imagineer?
If you were an Imagineer, and the final one would be, three policies that you would like to see incorporated at Walt Disney World if you were operations director.
I would love to hear some answers. I think those would be some interesting questions and answers that Disney would even love to see. Like, I think it gets into the mind of all of us guests. So for Dr. Michelle Scribner McLean, Mike Scopa, I'm Chris Ariopoulos. We'll see you on the road, in the parks, and welcome home.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.